Chapter 37. Ferry lectured endlessly, and Ron could tell that Artie was having a hard time staying awake. He drank soda after soda and kept wiping his face with his hands. Larry pretended to understand and took lots of notes so that he could parrot back Steve Ferry's words and sound like he knew what he was talking about. Paul did understand. He'd been a quarterback who was fast and smart. He'd just been too short and slow to play college ball. It was the second afternoon, and Ferry was talking defense. He was really talking about reads. His belief was that you could only coach the first couple of steps of a play on defense. It was read and react. He didn't have the talent for an attack defense. At least, he didn't think he did. Ferry was talking about the strong side safety in a 4-4 alignment. The middle defensive back would always shade to the opponent's tight end side. This man has an excellent view of the field and can see how the play is starting to develop. He watches the strong side guard, and if he pulls to the right, Steve stopped and positioned himself in front of them with his knees bent and his hands in front of him, elbows crooked. He moved his left foot forward and gave his body a quarter turn. This is his first step. Now, if he sees the wide receiver released toward the middle of the field, he squares up and plays football from there. If that receiver tries to come back towards him, he needs to be ready to cover or deflect a block. But he can't lose sight of what's happening in the backfield. This man is our last line of defense, and no one is to get in back of him. Ron thought that you could draw things up this way, but when you were on the field, you had to let your instincts take over. Sometimes you just knew what was going to happen. You couldn't stop and think about all these things. You'd be standing there when the play flew by you. Ferry looked at Ron's face like he was reading his mind. We have to train his instincts by doing it over and over in practice so he no longer thinks about it. Ron and Paul nodded. Larry wrote down, train his instincts. Artie yawned and said, I gotta take a leak. Ron stood up. He wanted a cigarette. Steve said, I think we're about done. Tomorrow, Ron, you take shoulder pads. Ron nodded. Artie, you take girdles. Paul, you and I will do helmets. You got it, said Paul. Steve said, I want you to lay aside about 10 of the new ones. I don't want the bench riders who were seniors to gobble them up. When we're all done, we'll see what we have left and swap out some of the better helmets so the younger kids will be on the field. All of the coaches nodded. They were interested again. This endless lecture was actually coming to an end. Larry, you handle pants and practice jerseys. Make sure they fit tight. Nothing looks worse than a football player with a saggy ass. Larry beamed. He didn't realize that Ferry had given him the one area that did not include any equipment. It had the least to do with the football, aside from the entertainment factor, when the new players sometimes put in their thigh pads upside down. Everyone was sure that Larry had learned the correct way to insert a thigh pad by now. Out in the parking lot, Ron talked with Paul Parmentieri. How's married life? Said Ron. Paul beamed. Paula is pregnant. It's a boy. How do you know? There's this test. Ron grinned. He liked Paul, and the rep among the step students was that Mr. Parmentieri was okay. He didn't rat kids out unnecessarily, like it was a search and destroy mission, but he was smart enough to define boundaries. Ron was in the process of doing that. This was just his second year. Perpetual Hope was a strange school in an affluent area of a wealthy county that was a combination bedroom community for New York City and wealthy people who had made small fortunes in New Jersey. If they were Catholic, they enjoyed the status of sending their sons to private school. It would be necessary that the level of education at the private school be above average. There had to be some success with sports. The tuition was not a factor, unless expectations weren't met. Paul was from Patterson. Now he lived in Totowa. He was a history teacher who Ron had been told took it seriously and tried to get his students to see concepts in history, not just dates and names. Ron said, "They gave me an honors class." "Hey, Ron?" "Yeah. Can I tell you something without you saying anything before the announcement?" "Sure. They're expanding the guidance department, and I'm in." "Is that what you wanted?" "Yeah. I'm taking classes at William Patterson, getting my guidance certificate, and now I'll have the credentials and the experience to move over to a public school." "That's what you want?" "Ron, I got a wife and a kid on the way. I can't work for peanuts anymore." "That makes sense," said Ron. His brain was grasping at it. "So, how many games do you think we'll win this year?" Paul laughed. "Maybe three."